Good morning. Welcome to the Friday, June 13th hearing of the California Coastal Commission. We'll start with a roll call.
Commissioner O'Malley.
Present.
Commissioner Dumlau. Commissioner Hart.
Sorry, present.
Commissioner Jackson.
Here.
Commissioner Kelly.
Here.
Commissioner Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Loewenberg. Commissioner Nuttall.
Here.
Commissioner Williams.
Here.
Commissioner Wilson.
Here.
Chair Harmon.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Now we'll move to the virtual meeting procedures, please.
All right, thank you. Good morning. This Coastal Commission meeting is occurring both in person and through Zoom. This meeting is also being webcast and can be viewed online at cal-span.org. If you have access to the internet and wish to watch or listen to the meeting only and not speak on an item, we recommend use the CalSpan website. Those who wish to address the commission today can do so in person, through the Zoom platform, or by phone. The speaker request forms may be found on the commission's webpage. Paper forms and a scannable QR code for paperless submittal are available on the commission staff table just outside the meeting room. For those on Zoom, we have posted virtual hearing procedures on the commission's agenda webpage, which is a guide on providing comments via Zoom or by phone. Members of the public speaking during general public comment may be given up to 2 minutes to speak at the discretion of the chair. Requests to speak during the general public comment period will not be accepted after 9 a.m. on each day of the meeting. In order to provide the opportunity for the broadest range of public participation, you may speak on a specific topic one time only each month. Those speaking on an agenda item that is not general public comment are typically allowed 2 to 3 minutes to speak at the discretion of the chair. We will accept a request to speak on an item up until the chair opens the hearing on that particular item. If you have access to the internet, please go to the commission's webpage and click on the link to fill out a speaker request. If you do not have internet access or prefer to testify by phone, please call the commission staff at 562-477-9089. Again, that number is 562-477-9089. Staff will provide you with the telephone call-in number and instructions for how to participate and provide testimony by phone. We will manage speakers coming in and out of the meeting through a meeting organizer. When it is your time to address the commission, the organizer will invite you to turn on your video and microphone or provide instructions on how to unmute your phone. Madam Chair, that concludes the virtual hearing procedures.
Thank you, Chris. Now we'll go to agenda changes for today.
All right, thank you. The posted agenda changes memo is still correct, but we have one item to add. So all told, there are two agenda changes for today. So first, item 12A, the Caltrans Toro Creek Bridge Replacement Project in San Luis Obispo County has been moved to consent, and that is reflected on the agenda changes memo. The second change for today is for item 9A, which is the appeal of a City of Half Moon Bay's partially after-the-fact approval of a gate blocking overnight access along Redondo Beach Road and thus blocking vehicles from accessing beach parking areas during that time. On Tuesday of this week, the city withdrew their coastal permit application, nullifying that permit action and mooting the appeal. There will be no hearing on that item today, but staff are evaluating next steps for addressing these overnight gate closures that are blocking public access in the city. That concludes agenda changes for today.
Thank you very much. Now we'll go to general public comment, please.
Okay. For members of the public, I'll be announcing the names of the upcoming speakers and invite you to speak when it is your turn. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes to speak during general public comment at the discretion of the chair. In order to allow for live video testimony on Zoom, we will be bringing you in as panelists. As we bring you in, your Zoom will reload, and this may take a moment. To speed up this process, we will bring several people in at a time, but please remain muted and keep your video off until we ask you to speak. After your time is up, you'll be moved back to attendee mode. For members of the public present in the room, I'll call your names in the order that they appear on our sign-up list. When you hear your name, please line up behind the podium and announce yourself with your name when you approach to speak. Several helpful tips. There is a raise your hand function that will help us find you in the attendee list. If you are using a phone for audio, you can raise your hand by dialing *9. If you are participating by Zoom, you should see a button on your Zoom screen. If you have signed up to speak for this item and are able to do so, please raise your hand now. When it is your time to speak, we will invite you to unmute and turn on your camera. You can unmute yourself on a phone by dialing *6. So today we have a fairly light general public comment. We have 11 speakers. We have 5 in person and 6 on Zoom. We'll start with in-person speakers, Janet Rogers, Shirley Weiss, and then Martin Zimmerman. Please turn the mic on at the podium, and you're good to go.
There we go. Okay. Good morning. I'm Janet Rogers, co-chair of the Embarcadero Coalition. I have 3 topics this morning. Next slide. I want to thank the local coastal staff, especially Melody Lassiter, for responding to my loss of public access complaints and insisting that the coastal permit be obeyed. We will get our public viewing deck at Portside Pier, that's yellow area. The balconies are opening at the Lanefield Hotels, and the Intercontinental must become compliant with the rooftop terrace. The public pier outside the Hilton Bayfront will get a railing so it can finally open to the public. Thank you. Next slide. Fifth Avenue Landing in the South Embarcadero is now advertised as a place to sell super yachts. This U.S. Foreign Trade Zone sign, threatening up to 10 years of prison, was recently posted. No operating agreement exists for an FTZ between the city and the port, like the agreement at the 10th Street Terminal FTZ. The Fifth Avenue Landing LCC does not have a lease to do this. The Marine Group Boatworks brags that it is handling the sales, but their lease does not include boat sales. Coastal staff says this marina is only permitted for recreational berthing, not boat sales. The port says this has nothing; they have nothing to do with this. Please investigate. Next slide. Senate Bill 675. Coastal staff informed the Seaport developer and the port about multiple Coastal Act violations in 2022, but nothing was done to fix the problems. This bill isn't about streamlining. It is motivated by the real risk that the commission will deny the Seaport project as an amendment for a long list of valid reasons. We support your efforts and advocate to stop the power grab to limit your ability to enforce compliance with the Coastal Act. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Shirley Weiss, Martin Zimmerman, Nikki Zimmerman, and Ryan Zimmerman. Shirley Weiss.
Morning, commissioners. My name is Shirley Weiss. I'm a longtime resident of Del Mar. I practiced law in California for over 40 years. Can you hear me? Practiced law in California for over 40 years, and I'm a member of the Coalition for Safer Trains. In applying for a Phase 5 permit to stabilize the Del Mar coastal bluffs for the rail industry, Sandag itself emphasized the ongoing deterioration of the bluffs, promising the commission that it was actively pursuing track relocation off the bluffs by 2035. The assurance played a critical role in obtaining concurrence despite the project's flagrant Coastal Act violations and assault on the Del Mar bluffs. But then came Sandag's stunning reversal. In February 2025, Sandag staff proposed a study of 4 rail routes in the environmental impact report. 2 routes involve the placement of giant air-polluting portals to disseminate diesel fuel close to the coast, and one is a reckless multi-billion-dollar plan to double-track the bluffs. The bluff option would replace the natural bluff with a mile-and-a-half-long concrete and steel structure, sealing the destruction of Del Mar's coastline. Residents have proposed what we call a northern yellow line, which does not involve tunnels under the city, does not involve damaging portals near the coast, and is on state property. More about that in letters to you. But in February 27, 2025 letter, the commission's senior environmental scientist, Wesley Horn, warned Sandag that the bluff option is not viable and urged its immediate removal from consideration. But at the Sandag board meeting, its CEO was dismissive of the commission's concerns, saying he would place a call to the commission. We urge you in the NOP to please insist that the bluff option, the double track bluff option, be abandoned at this stage. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Martin Zimmerman, Nikki Zimmerman, and Ryan Zimmerman.
Guys, okay. I have a video, a little presentation of 5 seconds to sort of tell you what it is, because it's really rudimentary and kind of crude. Mission Beach Town Council, we represent the town council in the effort to find an option and a solution for the smoke for the fire pits. Here it goes.
Obviously, South Mission Beach, this arrow represents my home. The takeaway from this picture is the placement of the fire pits along the front, 200 feet from houses. Other fire pits are on the parking lot side, some more on the other side of the lifeguard tower. No matter which way the wind blows, we get smoke. Mission Bay, obviously, the takeaway from this picture is the tiny little space at South Mission that has probably 10, 11 fire pits in this little area. The smoke all blows into the houses. All the other placements are on the east side. Of all the land masses, the smoke blows out of the water away from homes. This is the kind of smoke these are capable of generating. Imagine 3 or 4 of these burning all at once. This is what they're burning. Ammunition, chairs, scooters, lithium batteries, mattresses, who knows? Huge fires usually from these things. Here's a takeaway from this is the ambient air is green and it's good air quality. Mission Beach, 103, right on the verge of getting into unhealthful or hazardous air. Later in the evening, the numbers go up, 144. The ambient air starts to get worse. The air is being inundated by the smoke moving east from the fire pit. Later in the evening still, the ambient air starts to turn orange, gets worse and worse. 120, 106. Here's Mission Beach alone, 124, 106. LA fires, exactly the same numbers, 119, 121. Here's the problem. These 4 pits or 5 pits in front of South Mission are way too close together and way too close to home. All the smoke from these is blowing right into the residence. At the end of the day, this is what you're left with. You walk out to see the sunset, and here's what you see.
Well, that kind of says it all. I mean, if we're going to protect the beach and protect the environment, there are other ways to do this. Our suggestion is change Mission Beach to propane, make it a little experiment. I can't remember what it was called, a pilot project. See if it works. Because right now, right now it's pretty polluted. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry about the loudness. Nikki Zimmerman, Ryan Zimmerman, and then our first Zoom speakers will be Ronnie Jacobs, Adriana Guerrero-Nardon, and Alice McNally. Nikki, go ahead.
Marty said most everything I was going to say, but I've been studying this for over 10 years. These fire pits were moved after a budget vote. We had no notice. In one day, they were moved into this area. 17 years ago, that's 2 decades of exposure. The 2 meters we had to buy because our neighbors were coming down with strange illnesses and dying from lung cancer. The bird sanctuary protected across the bay has been abandoned now. I think the birds know what's going on. We're here to try and just relocate the 11 upwind from our neighborhood, not taking away any fire pits from the 186 the city has. Within walking distance, they can be placed where the police can monitor the activity across from Belmont Park in Bonita Cove, Mariner's Point, or Fiesta Island. Those are the areas where the police prefer them because they cannot patrol our area. There are bullet holes in our trash cans. They're just misusing the area and its overuse, which is something that the Coastal Commission states in a lot of documents to try and balance out use. We've got volleyball courts for 10 hours a day, basketball, it's a surf park, and the ocean is washing the ash into, I mean, in the tides are washing the ash into the ocean. So the surfers are even getting sick. The surfers hate these. So we're just asking for relocation because our tide line is 500 feet and the high tides wash them out. So we don't see a reasonable reason to have them in this location. Thank you. Or safe.
Thank you. Ryan Zimmerman.
Talking about the fire pits again. As a lifelong resident of Mission Beach, I've witnessed firsthand the devastating impact of these fires on our community for years. The pollution and litter from these fire pits not only harm our delicate marine ecosystem, but also pose a significant health risk to residents. While I understand the desire for enjoyment, propane fires offer a far superior alternative to burning toxic wood, even though it's called clean wood. It is crucial to prioritize the health of residents and those downwind of these fire pits. EPA meters in Coronado, La Jolla Shores, and Mission Beach show an alarming high pollution levels, with fire pits being the common denominator. Please consider the pollution these fire pits inflict on our pristine beaches. As a member of the California Coastal Commission, surely you would agree that coastal community health should take precedence over all everything else. Ideally, these fire pits should be relocated downwind of permanent residents like Fiesta Island. My family have lived here for 70 years and are well-versed in the area's history. The Mission Beach Town Council simply seeks to relocate these fire pits to a downwind location. The 2023 propane ordinance permits unlimited propane bonfires, which are more cost-effective and environmentally friendly. Thank you for your attention on this matter, and I urge you to prioritize the public health of beach communities downwind of these firings, Mission Beach, La Jolla Shores, and Coronado included, over clinging to outdated and archaic nostalgia that systematically pollutes our beaches and our fragile ecosystem. I ensure to ensure the safety and well-being of our beach communities, I kindly but firmly request that these firings be relocated downwind or replaced with propane-only fire pits. Thank you.
Thank you. Now moving on to Zoom speakers, we have Ronnie Jacobs, Adriana Guerrero-Nardone, and Alice McNally. Ronnie, and we have your presentation. We're bringing it up. Go ahead.
Hey, my name's Ronnie Jacobs, and I just wanted to share how Queer Surf has saved my life in the last year. Next slide, please. I know that COVID seems like it's gone, but it's not, and it definitely kept me isolated for the last 5 years. I joined Queer Surf last summer. Next slide, please. And after a major depressive episode that landed me in TMS and hospitalized treatment. Next slide. This was just a few months after I entered treatment at my second queer surf camp. This is in Carlsbad. Next slide, please. It's brought me community beyond what I could have ever imagined. My heart is open beyond what I could have ever imagined. Next slide, please. This is in Catalina at the sea camp in last month. Next slide, please. Snorkeling in Catalina, which was my first time ever doing that, which is incredible. Next slide, please. Unfortunately, in the last month, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, but I know that I'm going to be okay because I have this community, next slide, please, to support me. I just wanted to share that with y'all, and thank you for supporting Christmas.
Thank you. Next, Adriana Guerrero-Nardone, Alice McNally, and then Peter McNamee. Adriana.
Hello, do you have my slides?
Yes, we have it. We're bringing it up.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Hello, good morning. My name is Adriana Guerrero. I am holding two hats today. I am the executive director of Salted Roots, and I am also a member through Salted Roots of the Surf Justice Collective. And also something I'm really proud of and need to say today is that I'm the proud child of an immigrant and refugee. And so good morning to the commissioners and also welcome to the new commissioners. Just wanted to take the opportunity to share a little bit more about the Surf Justice Collective. Surf Justice Collective is made up of seven organizations, including Queer Surf, with Outdoor Outreach, Salted Roots as lead co-facilitators. As of last week, we've officially launched our website, which will help us share our stories and the stories of our community, events, and actions to broader circle of supporters and allied organizations. Slide. Our purpose is to drive a statewide movement that transforms those who have access to the ocean, connecting surf and ocean-centered nonprofits to create lasting change in policies, programs, and narratives that shape California's coastal culture. Slide. Our vision is to create a diverse network of surf and ocean-centered nonprofits throughout California to transform social and policy barriers to the outdoors, specifically the ocean, and to create a new vision for an inclusive and joyful surf culture, specifically for communities that have been historically and systemically excluded from the coast and surfing, specifically Black, Indigenous, queer, trans, and immigrant communities and communities of color. Slide, please. Our values are centered in co-creation, community, equity, joy, most importantly, and rejecting anti-Blackness. Slide. And these are just some of the members of our collective, and we just wanted to share a little bit more about the work that we're doing today. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Alice McNally, Peter McNamee, and Jennifer Savage. Alice?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
We all agree that the nuclear waste must be moved from San Onofre at least to higher ground. Dr. Kate Hucklebridge recently told my colleague that more must be done. Well, you better get busy. Trump has tightened control over the NRC, eroding its autonomy, reducing standards, cutting regulations, capping time for licensing to 18 months. New reactor safety rules must be sent to the White House for review and possibly edited. Now the commissioners will carry out their votes in a closed session and pass the rule to the White House, who will have 90 days to review and make changes. We see in LA, state officials are clashing with the federal government. Will the California Coastal Commission lose its authority to be a watchdog agency when it comes to licensing processes for the nuclear power plants? What can be done to protect your autonomy? We need you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Peter McNamee, followed by Jennifer Savage, and then Jim Holt. Peter McNamee.
Thank you. Peter McNamee here. Last Monday, Fort Bragg City Council approved negotiating a memorandum of understanding with the Mendocino Railway to build hundreds of residential units, commercial, industrial buildings, and train facilities on coastal zone lands. The council also approved a strategy to guide negotiations for the development by the railway. The strategy, crafted by a consultant paid in part by the railway, embraces controversial proposals such as heavy industry locomotive and rail car maintenance and repair activities and significantly expanded train operations being exempted from the Coastal Act land use and environmental regulation. It is the product of 8 months of closed-door city and Mendocino Railway negotiations that excluded public participation. This very controversial blueprint for coastal development was released to the public just 5 days before the council's adoption, an entirely insufficient time for public review. Several community members asked the council to postpone action for 2 weeks so that the public could properly assess and comment on the proposed action. But in their haste to act, a 3-council member majority outvoted the minority to proceed immediately. Why the rush? the public is told the action is needed to justify a third stay of litigation by the Coastal Commission to compel the railway to comply with the Coastal Act. I urge the Commission to reject any further court stay requests by the city and the railway. Delay only allows continued violation of the Coastal Act to the detriment of the public and California's coastal zone. Thank you.
Thank you. We have three more speakers, Jennifer Savage, Jim Holtz, and Mandy Sackett. Jennifer Savage, we seem to be having trouble promoting you as a panelist. You should be able to speak now as an attendee.
Great, thank you. I do have a presentation, which I see is coming up. Thank you. All right. Good morning, Chair Harmon, commissioners. Jennifer Savage, Surfrider Foundation. Next slide, please. Some of you heard about our Love Your Beach tour at the May meeting, but I wanted to share a short version with our new commissioners. Welcome Commissioner Preciado, Commissioner Lopez, and Commissioner Jackson, and those who weren't present before. Next slide, please. In April, in response to threats to the commission, Surfrider launched actions across 13 different cities where people from more than 100 different legislative districts signed 1,500 postcards to their representatives calling for protection of the Coastal Act and the Coastal Commission. As you can see here, these stops included our clubs at UCLA, USCSB, Cal Poly SLO, Cal Poly Humboldt, UC Berkeley, and UC Davis. Next slide, please. And here's Fiona, one of our UC Berkeley club members, to share why supporting you matters to her. You could play the video, please.
Here. This has been this great effort in order to support the Coastal Act, especially in the California Coastal Commission. That's been really important to me specifically. I was able to get involved with the Surfrider Love Your Beach tour as well in San Francisco, and that is just a really close issue to my heart because I'm originally from New Jersey, where we don't have that kind of public beach access that is protected in California. We do have an issue with privatized beaches and having to pay to go onto the beach, and so being able to protect that in California and be a part of standing up for those rights for everyone across the state to be able to access their beaches and enjoy the recreation that the beach and marine life offers to us has been really important for me.
Thank you. And of course, most members of the public cannot attend your meetings. But if you go out into the world and talk to them about what matters to them as Californians, the right to go to the beach is near the top of the list. The young people whose message I bring to you today do not take this for granted. They support you because they believe you will do right by them and protect their rights and their coast and their beaches into the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Holtz and then Mandy Sackett. Jim Holtz.
Commissioners, my name is Jim Holtz. I would like to respond to comments made yesterday in support of Del Mar's proposed short-term rental regulations, specifically the primary residence requirements that would force STR operators to live in the home at least 6 months each year. This may sound reasonable, but actually it's a cleverly disguised restriction designed to discourage STR operators altogether. It forces them to spend half the year sharing their home with renters, something that many are simply unwilling or unable to do. Del Mar already proposes a strict cap of short-term rentals. That alone is a powerful limit. Adding this residency mandate on top of it is not about balance, it's about exclusion. This rule undermines the very reason families choose STRs to stay together under one roof, cook meals, do laundry, and affordably enjoy the coast. Coastal hotels do not allow for that, and forcing the homeowner to be present breaks the experience. Would you want your small child sleeping in the room next to a stranger you just met? That is the scenario this rule would create. It's awkward, it's intrusive, and it serves no real purpose. It's not about community characters. It's about making STRs so unappealing that they go away. And if it's approved, it becomes a cookie cutter model for other cities to follow, multiplying the harm across the coast. Also, the speaker yesterday asserted the average STR costs $225 a night, comparing that to subsidized housing. That's disingenuous. The real comparison is the coastal hotel rates, which are many times, three times higher. STRs make coastal access more affordable, not less. Thank you.
Thank you. Mandy Sackett.
Good morning, commissioners and staff. Mandy Sackett, California Policy Manager with the Surfrider Foundation. I just wanted to take a moment this morning to say goodbye and thank you. After about 10 years of attending these meetings, month after month and issue after issue on behalf of the Surfrider Foundation, it is time for me to move on. I'll be working for a group called Earthworks. It has been a privilege, a true privilege, to be part of this process and to witness the incredible work of this commission firsthand. The commission, as you know, was created by a voter initiative, and public polling continues to show that the vast majority of Californians want you to protect the coast and access to it to the maximum extent possible. You are here because the people demanded it, and they're still counting on you. And through all of the long agendas and policy debates and public testimony, one thing is just so clear, that the California Coastal Commission stands as a beacon of hope nationally and internationally. You're one of the last lines of defense for our public coastline, and also a true leader in climate change and adaptation and environmental justice, protecting resources. So it's just been such an honor and a privilege to work with you all. And my hope is that you'll continue to hold that line and keep setting bold precedents and asking hard questions and upholding the vision of the Coastal Act, because of course it's just needed now more than ever. So thanks so much for everything, and hope to see y'all one day soon.
Thank you. We're gonna miss you, Mandy. We have no more speakers for general public comment.
Thank you. I will second that, and just take my prerogative briefly to say thank you to Ms. Sackett, truly, personally, for helping me see not just what's practical or pragmatic, but also what's possible, and to really expand my vision for the state. I too will miss you. Okay, with that, I'll turn it over to my colleagues. I think Commissioner O'Malley has some comments to start.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I also just want to piggyback on how sorely Mandy will be missed. We worked together maybe 12, 13 years ago at Surfrider, and she's just been a terrific advocate. So best of luck to you, and cheers. I want to talk about the fire pit, and I want to thank you for the Zimmermans and others for showing up. For context to my fellow commissioners, the area they're talking about is the same area, pretty much, that we ruled on that we wanted to lift the house 6 feet or so. So we know that the water's getting up there. We know that people are putting awful trash in there, and so it's affecting water quality. It's obviously affecting their health as well. What, if anything, can we do about that?
Thanks for the question, Commissioner O'Malley. I want to start by also putting in my own thank you to Mandy. I was stunned to hear you're leaving. We're so sad to not be able to work with you anymore. But also, thank you. Thank you for your advocacy. Thank you for working with us, for your support, all of that. And congratulations. And we wish you the best on your next adventure. And please, please stay in touch. We hope we get to hear from you once in a while. So thank you, Mandy. Just wanted to say that. Mission Beach. Also want to thank the Zimmermans for coming out. I had a chance to speak with them a little bit more and get a little more context yesterday. Thank you for that. So personally, it's the first time I'm hearing of some of the issues related to the environmental effects, all the challenges I think some of the folks that live in this area are facing. We only heard recently about the fire pits from, we read in the press, just like I think many of us did, that the city had decided to take them out of their budget. We wrote a letter at that point to the city, letting them know that any removal of that public use would be require a permit, and so suggested they come and talk to us about that. So I think there probably is, we are hoping the city will take that as an entree to come talk to us about what we can do to both address these concerns, because I mean, just seeing the pictures and hearing about some of the challenges, and as you said, the environmental and water quality concerns on top of air and others, it seems pretty formidable. This is an issue the commission has faced in several places up and down the coast, and we have found creative solutions in different places of how to deal with it. Enforcement is an issue as well. We need to talk to the city to figure out what works. I mean, that said, it is also a very popular public use. It's free, or at least close to free, and it's something that we do want to see if there's a way to continue that use in a way that is safe and in a way that is not harming surrounding folks. And so I appreciated the idea of the propane, or, you know, that's what we're going to, I guess that would be my interest in talking to the city to see if there are, can we come up with something that addresses the problems and still allows some type of use in a different place or this place, but a different type of use. Anyway, that's a kind of discussion we're hoping to have with the city. So
thank you very much. I, again, will volunteer if it helps at all to work with the city on that too. And, you know, I think it was 2 days ago, I got a mailer from a county supervisor, save the fire pits. And I, you know, I think they're very popular, obviously, but these ones should not exist where they exist. And so I appreciate you guys showing up. Yeah, so thanks for continuing to work with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Commissioner Preciado and then Commissioner Hart.
I just wanted to add, these are other fire pits. And the fire pits that I received a phone call yesterday regarding the ones in Coronado. It seems that the city of Coronado has encouraged fire pit use in a particular area, and it's getting reduced. And now they're introducing the idea of propane fire pits, which I don't know if those of us who don't live on the coast who bring our stacks and stacks of stuff to burn, we'll have to get in line, we'll have to bring tools, we'll have to bring our propane tent. I mean, it's kind of a different use. The curious thing of all of this, the complaint came with the Hotel Del sells firewood for you to have your firewood experience at the pits that are in their sphere, let's say. And so I think it is an important issue. Obviously, the city of San Diego, with their budget problems, created a lot of communication about this. But in South Bay, there was another twist. And it is this competing use between the homeowners that are in the high rises right next to the beach, the participants that have gone historically and gone to the fire pit and continue to be shushed away, except if you want to participate through the Hotel Del, through the sponsored, beautiful, very nice chopped up wood experience that you can have. And I don't know if those pollute less, or since they're commodified, they're more well received. So anyways, I just wanted to add that to Mr. Commissioner O'Malley's engagement. I think Coronado may need you too.
Thank you. Vice Chair Hart.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to start out by acknowledging the incredible contribution of Mandy Sackett. Mandy, you have just been every time that you've appeared before the commission. And sorry, just got some new message. And it's just so valuable. I just find it absolutely remarkable how well-informed you are about the issues when you come before the commission. We're going to miss you so much, but that kind of dedication that you've given to the coast of California, I think will be fantastic for your new job. And I know they'll really appreciate it. While I'm talking about Surfrider, I also want to acknowledge the huge effort of Jen Savage and her team going up and down the coast of California. I met with them briefly when they came through Sonoma, and I know other current and former commissioners met with Jen as she went down the coast. And it was just wonderful to see that kind of support at this time when the commission has so many challenges. And that was a lot, Jen. Thank you so much for that. And on the fire pits, you know, there's just so many situations on the coast. It seems like it happens all the time where you have the majority of users just wanting to enjoy a wonderful experience of having, you know, sitting on the beach and having a fire. It's just so great. But obviously, it seems like the size of these fire pits is encouraging the fact that you could fit a mattress in it. just seems like a not a good approach. So I'm really happy to hear Director Hucklebridge that you're going to engage on this, and thank you so much, Commissioner O'Malley, for engaging as well. But it definitely seems like if there's a way, you know, where people can have a small fire on the beach and enjoy that, it's just such a wonderful experience. But obviously, it's gotten into a space that is just very damaging and dangerous to the people in the area. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Lopez.
Yeah, I just wanted to opine on the fire pit issue as well. Very little known fact about me. I actually did my senior year of high school at Carmel High at a time when you could still have a fire directly on the beach. And that was an incredible experience and part of me falling in love with the coast and having a constant commitment to preserving what it means to families who don't get to live there every single day. So I just wanted to talk about the unintended consequences that I've seen in the battle on in Carmel over how they're placed, where they're placed, who gets access, what the hours are. And I want to ask that we take a pragmatic approach, because I've seen even in propane instances, it doesn't stop people from dragging trash in and throwing that on top of a propane fire. And based on the size of the tanks, we just had Senator Laird pass some amazing legislation to get rid of those small tank uses. And now I'd hate to see those littering our beaches or folks tossing those in, and those explosions, those create all things we have seen. And so as we look for a solution, I just hope we're pragmatic in making sure the community retains access to enjoy the experience that so many of us have had the opportunity to enjoy that drives the love for the coast. Thank you.
Through the chair, thank you, Commissioner Lopez. Funny enough, I was just getting some messages from my Central Coast staff that wanted to, you know, were just letting me know, hey, we have been dealing with this issue in Carmel. We have some lessons learned. We want to share that, you know. So we have, as a commission, dealt with the fire pit issue up and down the coast. My staff says that they don't think it's being done, and they're doing propane in Carmel, but they think there's some issues and it's not right sized yet. Put it that way. So
that's
thank you for your comments. I think you are absolutely right that we want to protect the positive experience that many folks who don't get to enjoy the coast on a daily basis, this is how they do it. And I appreciate your comments about that was how you fell in love with the coast. We want to protect that use as long as it's done appropriately, and we think that's possible. You know, so that's what we've been doing, is working with local governments to try to figure out how to do it. Maybe we haven't cracked the nut completely yet, but we're going to keep trying. And especially, I'm really hoping the city of San Diego will come and want to work with us on this so we can figure out. And maybe we're piloting certain things to try. I think San Diego is probably a little bit different animal than Carmel, but we can learn lessons up and down the coast. So thanks for those comments.
Thank you. And just one final point. I think even there we've learned it comes down to enforcement, right? Like, it doesn't matter. You can have the best intention in how you write a policy, but without enforcement to change habits, then we're not going to get there. So thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments? Commissioner Nada.
I too wanted to just say how great. I followed closely the Love Your Beach tour, and it was inspiring and great to see that every generation of Californians really take the beach and coastal access to heart. And Mandy, you've been a colleague before I was here, and you were advocating before me. So I've seen you from both sides of the dais, and it's been a pleasure, and I respect your work and hope you the best in the future. I also wanted to thank Mr. McNamee for keeping us up to date on what's going on in Mendocino with the city action, and that's very helpful to us as we determine how to move forward. And those are the main points, everybody. I guess I also just wanted to say how valuable I find it to hear from recipients of the Whale Tail Grant to see what is actually happening out there and the people who are being affected by the work that our Whale Tail Grant program conducts. I know our staff worked really hard to identify good programs that can get the most bang for the buck with getting most people a good experience. So it's really gratifying to hear from folks. We hit the mark. So thank you.
Thank you. I second all that, and specific thanks to the Zimmermans for bringing this to our attention today. I would say clearly there's an interest from this commission in engaging on this topic. So many thanks to our staff and to Commissioner O'Malley, and looking forward to the continued conversation to come on that.
Okay, with that, we will move to the consent calendar.
Through the chair, we have Commissioner Wilson was raising his hand.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I can't see you. Commissioner Wilson.
That's all right. I just wanted to shout out to Mandy for all her dedication and hard work and helping not just this commission, but we'll all miss her, but really Surf Rider is going to miss her. I think she's just been a stalwart of good PR and great information and giving us great perspective. And I just know she's also done the work behind the scenes to get that information to put it in a way that really works. And I know that Surf Rider is going to miss her. We're going to miss her, and the California coast is going to miss her too. So, and thanks again to Surf Rider for all their continued hard work and advocating for the Coastal Act in general. It is true that sometimes we have differences of opinions about certain things in relation to some of the specifics of what we work on every day, but the organization Surf Rider is just invaluable in offering opinions and perspective that and really advertising or putting out there and letting folks know and reminding Californians about the importance of the Coastal Act. It's not just about a commission per se. We're just adjudicators of one of the most important legislative and initiative processes that the citizens of California put together. And so we're just like a vehicle for something that's just so much more important. And I think Surf Rider really puts a lot of really great effort in reminding us every day how important that that is. So thanks a lot.
You're here. Okay. Now we will be moving to the consent calendar, please. Thank you.
All right. As noted earlier this morning, we have one item that's been moved to the consent calendar. That is item 12A, the Caltrans Toro Creek Bridge Replacement Project in San Luis Obispo County. The commission approved the northbound bridge replacement in 2020, and that project is now complete. This project would redo the southbound bridge in a fairly similar manner. Staff have worked closely with Caltrans on the project, including mitigations for project impact, and Caltrans is in agreement with the staff recommendation. So we are recommending that the commission approve this coastal permit on the consent calendar.
Thank you. Are there any ex partes on this item? Seeing none, I'll ask if there are any members of the public who wish to speak.
I know we just have 5 members of the Caltrans available for questions.
Wonderful, thank you. Does anyone wish to remove this item or make a motion? Consent?
I move consent.
Second.
Thank you. Motion by Commissioner Loewenberg, seconded by Commissioner O'Malley. Unless they'd like to speak to their motion, we'll move to a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner O'Malley.
Yes.
O'Malley, yes. Commissioner Hart.
Yes.
Hart, yes. Commissioner Jackson.
Aye.
Jackson, yes. Commissioner Kelly.
Aye.
Kelly, yes. Commissioner Lopez.
Aye.
Lopez, yes. Commissioner Loewenberg.
Aye.
Loewenberg, yes. Commissioner Nottoff.
Aye.
Nottoff, yes. Commissioner Preciado.
Aye.
Preciado, yes. Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Wilson, yes. Chair Harmon?
Yes.
Harmon, yes. The vote is unanimous.
Thank you. The consent calendar is so adopted. Now we'll move to the North Coast District Deputy Director's report.
Good morning, Chair Harmon and Commissioners. Item 7 is our Deputy Director's report for the North Coast District. We do have a number of items in our report today, but I'd like to start out by reporting out on an emergency permit that was issued to Caltrans in May for a stabilization project along Highway 1 in Mendocino. We do have a PowerPoint, looks like that's brought up, and we'll have a brief presentation that would be given by Kate Anderson. She is our Northern California Manager in the Transportation Unit.
Thank you, Shanna. The emergency project we are presenting to you today involves a critical threat to Highway 1 in Mendocino County, where a large landslide and coastal erosion threaten the highway. We would like to present this ECDP to you given the large scale and sensitive location of the site. In this image, we can see how Highway 1 clings to the edge of the bluff, some 400 feet above the ocean, and is also the site of ongoing emergency repairs. Next slide, please. The site is located in northern Mendocino County, just north of the city of Fort Bragg. In fact, the location is the same as the Blues Beach land transfer to the Kaipoma tribe, which the commission heard this past April. Highway 1 is critical here for northern Mendocino County to provide connections along the coast north of Fort Bragg. Without Highway 1, transportation access up and down the Mendocino coast would be lost, and numerous coastal access points would be inaccessible. Next slide, please. As you can see here, Highway 1 is greatly at risk and is in effect caught between two forces: wave erosion at the bottom of the steep slope, and most significantly, situated on a large, deep-seated landslide known as the Westport Slide. You can actually see the contours of this slide along the top of the image. The situation here worsened during the heavy winter storms of 2023, and since then the governor has issued several emergency declarations. Mendocino County, Caltrans, and staff have all coordinated on ongoing emergency repairs to the highway. As you can see, Caltrans has installed a series of soldier pile walls in an effort to protect the seaward side of the highway alignment and preserve the roadway prism. Next slide, please. Here is an image from directly above the highway showing how it sits right at the cliff's edge. Since 2023, the slope below the highway has continued to fail in several areas as smaller landslides have developed and, according to Caltrans, wave action has contributed to increased erosion of the bluff toe, further destabilizing the slope. There is a significant concern that upcoming heavy winter storms will erode the bluff further, leading to a collapse and loss of Highway 1. Given the complexity of reaching the beach and the bluff toe here below the roadway, Caltrans needs to start now to address erosion prior to the upcoming winter season to avoid an imminent failure of Highway 1. Next slide, please. To address the emergency, Caltrans will place a revetment that is about 1,918 feet long and covers about an acre of beach area. Caltrans and Commission staff have worked extensively to reduce this revetment to the smallest size immediately necessary and place it as tight to the bluff as feasible. In addition, given that the landslide remains the most significant threat here, Caltrans will install a series of dewatering pipes in an effort to further stabilize the landslide. Special conditions of this ECDP also require Caltrans to monitor and develop further plans to mitigate the impacts of the larger landslide. Next slide, please. In order to access the revetment area and place the rock, Caltrans will also temporarily construct several structures along Chadbourne Gulch and the access road to Blues Beach just down coast of the active slide. Temporary construction support features include a rock haul road, a staging area, rock stockpiling area, culverts, and a pave access road as shown in this slide. Special conditions of the ECDP protect the creek and fish habitat here. Next slide, please. In collaborating with Commission staff on this emergency, Caltrans realized an opportunity to address another emergency in conjunction with this project. Just north of this site is the Westport Union Landing State Beach. Here, sections of the old decommissioned Highway 1 are actively eroding into the ocean, which has negative impacts to public access, coastal views, and the marine habitats below. Staff and Caltrans have coordinated with state parks to develop a proposal to remove about 6,000 linear feet, or about 4.3 acres, of old highway that is actively falling into the ocean. Caltrans will reutilize the highway aggregate-based material for the staging area at the Westport Slide site that we have just described. Caltrans will also construct an interim coastal trail here to immediately offset the lost public access. Next slide, please. Before concluding, we want to note the connection between this project and the Blues Beach Transfer Project you approved in April. The emergency work is located at the northern end of the 136-acre property that Caltrans is transferring to Kaipoma, a tribally chartered nonprofit corporation governed by members of three federally recognized California Native American tribes, including the Coyote Valley Band of Pomo Indians, the Round Valley Indian Tribes, and the Sherwood Valley Band of Pomo Indians. Caltrans retains ownership of the area for the revetment and an easement that allows use of the access road to reach the revetment site. Staff have been updating the Kaipoma board throughout this ECDP process, and we intend to continue to coordinate closely with Kaipoma during the follow-up CDP process. Next slide, please. On this point, the ECDP includes a number of special conditions to the emergency authorization to protect, avoid, and minimize impacts, as well as to provide mitigation. Conditions include the presence of qualified tribal monitors, as well as a biologist, to monitor all emergency activities and stop work if needed. A follow-up CDP is required to be submitted by February 2026 and must contain further public access mitigation, which could include further improvements at Westport Union Landing State Beach, additional public access improvements at Blues Beach, or other nearby coastal sites. The follow-up CDP requires a plan to address the deep-seated landslide, monitor conditions, and a plan to develop a long-term adaptation plan for Highway 1 here. Next slide, please. With that, that concludes the presentation, and our staff, as well as representatives from Caltrans, are available for questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Ms. Gray, is there anything else to add or turn it back to me?
I don't know if we want to talk about the, if there are any comments or anybody signed up for.
Okay, I just wasn't sure if you were done with your report. Thank you very much.
I do have a part two to vote on the remaining items.
Why don't you finish up, Shanna, with your part, and then we'll see if there's public comment at that point.
With regard to all the other items, on the DDR includes one waiver and five immaterial amendments. We have not received any comments or opposition on these matters, and we are asking whether three or more commissioners object to any of these items.
Wonderful.
And we are available for questions.
Thank you very much. I'll start by asking if there are any ex partes on any of these items. Okay, and we'll move to public.
We just have two members of Caltrans, Tim Nelson and Dominic Vitali, on Zoom and available for questions.
Thank you. Okay. You have a... Mr. Wood. Sure. Only if you'd like to.
Please.
All right. Thank you, Chair Harmon. Thank you, Kate, for the very thorough presentation there. I think it really highlights the significant and complex issues that we're dealing with in Westport there. And I know staff at both agencies have been collaborating very closely and trying to find a long-term solution at this location. And of note, Caltrans will be coming back with a follow-up sometime early next calendar year. So we look forward to seeing what those longer-term solutions are there. And I just want to thank everybody for their work together and trying to figure this really complex issue out. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Williams. That was perfect. If there are any questions, seeing none, do three or more commissioners object to any items on the DD report? Seeing no objections, the commission concurs. Now, I think that moves us to the next DD report for the Central Coast.
Thank you. In the North Central Coast District Director's report this month, we are reporting one permit amendment, two permit extensions, and two emergency coastal permits. Before asking for the Commission's concurrence on these items, we did want to highlight the emergency permit for an extension of the revetment that fronts the old Muscle Rock landfill site in Daly City. This has been the site of numerous emergency permits over the year, all designed to help contain a former landfill that occupies about 30 acres and includes an estimated 1 million cubic yards of trash that was dumped here in the 50s, 60s, and 70s before the landfill was closed. As you can imagine, it's a pretty problematic site, and the emergency permit here today is designed to add more revetment to an existing revetment that has been augmented several times over the past 50 years, all in an effort to keep landfill materials and trash from falling into the ocean. We're highlighting all of this as an introduction to the issue. We intend to bring a more formal informational item in front of you all in the next couple of months to give a refresher on the history here and potential next steps, including because we will also be bringing a condition compliance item later this year for your consideration. And at that time, questions about the future of the site are intended to be asked and answered. All of this emanates from a Coastal Commission CDP that was issued some 15 years ago at the site. So this is really just a heads up that those informational items will be coming in front of you in the next couple of months, so stay tuned. As for the rest of the items on the DD report this month, we are not aware of any objections or controversy regarding these matters. So the question is whether three or more commissioners object, and if not, then the commission will confirm.
Thank you, Ms. Cooper. Are there any ex partes on any matters? None? Okay, we'll move to public comment. Anyone signed up to speak?
We have no one signed up to speak.
Thank you. We'll close public comment. Do three or more commissioners wish to object to any item on the DD report? Seeing no objections, the commission concurs. Okay, and now that moves us down to item 11A. Item 10, the next deputy director's report.
Yes, you're right. In the Central Coast District director's report this month, we are reporting 4 waivers and 1 permit extension. We are not aware of any objections or controversy in these items, so the question is whether three or more commissioners object, and if not, then the commission will concur.
Thank you. Any ex partes? None. Any public comment?
We just have 2 available for comment.
Okay. Do three or more
available for questions.
Do three or more commissioners object to any items on the DD report? Seeing no objection, the commission concurs. And now we will move to 11A.
And just wanted to say a quick thank you to Isabel Cooper for stepping in for Dan Carl today. She's an excellent stand-in deputy director.
All right. And then for item 11A, we have Mara Sosinski, our coastal planner that covers the Carmel area. They will be giving a staff presentation. Mara is on Zoom, and I believe we have a PowerPoint.
Good morning. Shanna, Chair Harmon, and commissioners. Item 11A is a proposed City of Carmel by the Sea LCP amendment that would update the LCP's existing wireless ordinance. It includes provisions that address coastal resource protection and that implement applicable federal and state telecommunications law requirements. Next slide, please. In previous wireless amendments that have come before the Commission, the general framework has been to include provisions that protect coastal resources, including by ensuring that wireless facilities are sited in areas that will not have adverse public view or habitat impacts, while also including specific requirements from applicable telecommunications law. This includes provisions regarding application review times, health and safety issues, coverage requirements, and potential overrides of LCP provisions when required by state and federal law. This proposed amendment does just that. Its purpose is to establish specific development standards for the siting, design, construction, maintenance, and modification of wireless facilities, while minimizing adverse impacts to public views and the city's unique character, some of which can be seen here on slide 2, all to the extent that is consistent with federal and state telecommunications law. Next slide, please. The City of Carmel by the Sea is a popular visitor destination, known not only for its natural shoreline area, but also for its city and a forest aesthetic. Accordingly, the city's LUP requires that public views be protected and enhanced as resources of public importance. The proposed amendment provides clear guidance for wireless facility siting and design that protects Carmel's resources and views. These guidelines include discouraging wireless facilities at the city shoreline along Scenic Road and Carmel Beach, shown here on the bottom of slide 3 in the pink area, as well as in public rights of way. The amendment would also implement measures from the Federal Telecommunications Act, including new timing requirements or shot clocks, procedures for appeals to the City Council, and a specific procedure for special exceptions based on Telecommunications Act criteria. Next slide, please. The Commission received correspondence from Verizon Wireless raising concerns about the proposed amendment's consistency with state and federal telecommunications law, primarily with respect to siting and design requirements. Verizon suggests that the amendment uses vague and subjective aesthetic criteria, and also that its preference for siting facilities on private property over the public right-of-way is inconsistent with federal law. However, staff believes the language used in the amendment is quite specific in terms of steering such proposed facilities away from discouraged locations, such as locations that are more likely to have adverse coastal resource impacts, particularly on public views and Carmel's distinct community character, and towards preferred ones, such as property outside of the public right-of-way. Additionally, the amendment is structured in a way that ensures consistency with telecommunications laws. These concerns are addressed in more detail in the city's response letter, and city staff is also available today to answer any questions. Overall, staff agrees with the city's analysis and believes the proposed amendment provides specific guidelines to protect Carmel's unique character and visual resources, and also satisfies applicable telecommunications law. Next slide, please. In conclusion, the proposed amendment would effectively regulate wireless facilities in the city's coastal zone while ensuring the protection of public views and Carmel's unique community character and resources. Staff recommends that the Commission find the proposed amendment consistent with and adequate to carry out the policies of the LUP and approve the amendment as submitted. The motion and resolution to do so can be found on page 4 of the staff report. This concludes staff's presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any ex partes to report on this item? Seeing none, we'll open the public hearing. Is the city going to be making a presentation on this item?
No, we have the Director of Community Planning and Building for the City of Carmel. They are available for questions. We also have the Special Counsel to Carmel by the Sea, and they're available for questions.
Great, thank you. Are there any members of the public who wish to speak on this item?
Yes, we have 4 people signed up, but we're only able to find 2. We'll start with Christy Hollenbeck, followed by Tasha Witt. Christy Hollenbeck, I see you're on a phone. You should be able to unmute.
Can you hear me?
Hi, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, good morning, commissioners. My name is Christy Hollenbeck. I'm a longtime, full-time resident of Carmel by the Sea. I'm speaking on behalf of the residents who care deeply about preserving the character of our town while keeping up with today's technology needs. I hope you were able to read the response to Verizon's letter from telecom attorney Andrew Campanelli. He helped to write the Carmel by the Sea draft of our wireless ordinance. I ask that you approve the city's proposed update to its wireless ordinance. I'm sure you all understand what a unique and special place Carmel by the Sea is. Residents and visitors alike love our city's unique charm, its natural beauty, its historic character, the very things that your commission is tasked with protecting. We ask for your help to keep it that way. This is not about opposing technology. It's about managing wireless infrastructure thoughtfully. Unchecked installation of noisy, bulky equipment and antennas would threaten the very essence of Carmel. Our scenic views, our property values, our quiet ambiance of our neighborhoods. The ordinance provides sensible guidelines, prioritizing installations on private property and keeping them away from sensitive areas. The current push from wireless carriers for a rigid relocation rule does not work in our 1 mile square, densely populated village. A 500-foot rule is insufficient and could trap installations in historic districts. This ordinance is a legal, fair, and carefully balanced plan. It's fully compliant with federal and state law while honoring our local coastal program. It reflects the overwhelming desire of the people who live here. We ask that you stand with the residents of Carmel and please approve these amendments and give our city the tools it needs to protect the beauty, charm, and character of Carmel by the sea. Thank you all for your service.
Thank you. And Tasha Witt, you should be able to unmute now.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Good morning, Coastal Commissioners. My name is Tasha Witt. I'm a resident of Carmel by the Sea. I support the staff's recommendation to adopt the Carmel by the Sea wireless ordinance without delay. Our community collaborated extensively on this ordinance, working with expert attorneys to ensure it protects our coastal resources and aesthetics while complying with state and federal laws. Local control over siting decisions is paramount, and our ordinance presents clear, aesthetic-focused criteria for preferred locations. Please support our efforts to preserve the character of Carmel by the Sea and our pristine coastline for future generations. Thank you.
Thank you. And our other two speakers that we're unable to find are Lorna Moffitt and Brian Rosen. We're not seeing them on Zoom. That concludes our speakers.
Thank you very much. With that, I'll close the public hearing and return it to staff for any further comments.
No further comments, thanks.
Okay, thank you. All right, so it's back to the commission for any questions, comments. Looks like the motions on page 4 of the staff report.
I just have a question about the motion and the no recommendation. If staff could explain that a little bit further, just to so that there's clarity.
I'd ask Kevin Kahn, who's online, to address the question.
Sure. Thank you, commissioners. Just real briefly, for implementation plan amendments, it's actually a double negative, so no means yes in this regard. It's one of our quirks of the Coastal Act because the motion is that we will only reject something. So we're saying don't reject it, approve it. I hope that helps clarify.
Perfectly clear. Thank you.
It's based on the language of the Coastal Act in terms of what the commission can do when acting on the implementation plan. That's why it's phrased in the negative.
Okay, and Commissioner Wilson.
Thanks. I support this, but I do want to note that we don't have to just reserve decent and practical aesthetic design for these types of technologies to just, places like Carmel by the Sea or neighborhoods that are trying to maintain character. I will say we experience and look at these things in our region as well. And I just want to say, like, even we sometimes make fun of the faux trees or the faux water towers that are often these installations, but they are still better looking than a cell tower, and they don't cost significantly more. So I'm just saying that 95% of the time we can get better design even in our industrial areas and even in areas that we may even consider blighted. There's no reason to further blight these areas with just because we don't want to implement some very practical design that, again, 95% of the time doesn't really significantly increase cost necessarily, or it's definitely does not limit the ability of these fairly well-resourced companies to do better design. So I just want to emphasize that I'm glad that we're looking at it in this case, but I'm hoping that staff can encourage communities to encourage better design around these facilities. There's no reason for us to arc as we move forward into an uglier landscape just because we didn't try. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Wilson. Okay. Any more comments or a motion?
Move concurrent.
This is one of those double negatives.
I'll make a motion. I move that the commission reject implementation plan amendment number LCP-3-CML-25-2021 2022-0009-1. Oh, sorry. As submitted by the City of Carmel by the Sea, and I recommend a no vote.
Second.
Okay. Thank you. The motion was made by Commissioner Nodoff, seconded by Commissioner Kelly. As a reminder, we're asking for a no vote. Please call the roll, Ms. Miller.
Commissioner Hart.
No.
Hart.
That's correct, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just trying to follow this. Thanks.
Commissioner Jackson.
No.
Jackson, no. Commissioner Kelly.
No.
Kelly, no. Commissioner Lopez.
No.
Lopez, no. Commissioner Loewenberg.
No.
Loewenberg, no. Commissioner Nodoff.
No.
Nodoff, no. Commissioner Preciado.
No.
Preciado, no. Commissioner Wilson.
No.
Wilson, no. Commissioner O'Malley.
No.
O'Malley, no. Chair Harmon?
No.
Harmon, no. The vote is unanimous.
Thank you. And with that, we have certified the implementation plan as amended. Thank you. And before we close, I'm going to turn it over to Commissioner Nodoff for some brief commissioner communication.
Well, not really a communication, but, you know, it's been a tough week in California, and I thought it might be nice to remind us all of why we do what we do here. I recently found that the California State Song, and it was written by an immigrant from California, from Canada, in 1913, and it was certified as the state official song 2 years before I was born. And I think you'll remember some of it, but I just thought I'd read a couple of stanzas to kind of remind us about what we're here for. It's, "I love you, California. You're the grandest state of all. I love you in the winter, summer, spring, and in the fall. I love your fertile valleys and your dear mountains I adore. I love your grand old ocean, and I love her rugged shore. I love you, land of sunshine. Half your beauties are untold. I loved you in my childhood, and I'll love you when I'm old."
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us. Okay. With that, the commission will adjourn to closed session, and we will be finished for the month. So looking forward to seeing everyone in July in Pismo.
Okay. Welcome back to the California Coastal Commission meeting. Ms. Warren, could you please report out on closed session?
Thank you, Vice Chair Hart. The commission met in closed session and it received litigation information and advice on Space Exploration Technologies Corporation versus California Coastal Commission. And that concludes my report.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. That concludes our agenda for the June meeting of the California Coastal Commission. I want to thank everyone from the public, as well as all of our staff and commissioners. Thank you so much. And we'll see everyone in Pismo Beach next month. Thank you. Meeting's adjourned.